Creator, we gratefully acknowledge that everything comes from you, and all is intended to bring us closer to you. Give us the strength to use everything you send us to serve you and bring you contentment. We ask that you unite us in a singular intention. May our unity bring peace to the world.
During the lesson. Again, the writings of Baal Sulam, Shamati, Article 195, rewarded, I will hasten it. Rewarded, I will hasten it, meaning path of Torah. Not rewarded, through suffering. An evolutionary path that will finally lead everything to utter perfection.
This means that for sure we will reach the wholeness, perfection, the end of the path through the correct development, but in two things, in two paths. Either by the path of I will hasten it, or on the path of in its time, the path of suffering. And in between these two, actually, is our destiny, our fate. So, what do we choose? As he writes here, that finally, everything will reach the utter perfection. What next? The path of Torah means that an ordinary person is given virtues, by which he can make for himself vessels that are ready for it, ready for the correct state. And the vessels are made through the expansion of the light and its departure. As we learned it, that the expansion of the light and its departure make the vessel that is fit, qualified for its role. It builds in the vessel a deficiency for the light. The expansion alone is not enough. The departure is also required. Only after it tasted something and it can yearn for it after it had stopped. A vessel, kli, is specifically called the will to receive. This is what it is called, that it he tastes something and then he no longer has it. This means that he lacks something. And there is no light without a vessel, because the light must be caught, must be captured in some kli, so it will have a hold. So there has to be a deficiency for this light, for this taste of the light. But an ordinary person cannot have deficiencies for sublime things. This is for each and everyone when he develops, since it is impossible to have a deficiency before there is fulfillment. As it is written, the expansion of the light and its departure. So first, we seemingly need to receive the fulfillment, and then when the fulfillment, the filling stops, then we will have the deficiency, and then with this deficiency, we will long for the fulfillment. For example, when a person has 1,000 pounds, then he is rich and content. However, if he subsequently earns more, let's say up to 5,000 pounds, and later he loses the 5,000 until he is left with 2,000, meaning earlier first he had 1,000, then he gained 5,000, and now he lost and he went down to 2,000. So now he is deficient. Now he has vessels for 3,000 pounds that he is lacking, that he had from the food to the, from the 5,000 down to 2,000, since he had already had it. Thus, he had he has actually been cancelled. And there is a path of Torah for this. When one is accustomed to the path of Torah, to regret the scantiness of attainment, and every time he has some illuminations, and they are divided, then they cause him to have more sorrow and more vessels. This means that each time he has ascents and descents, and this is how he builds the vessels. This is the meaning of every kli lacking light, that it is not filled, that its light is missing. Thus, every deficient place becomes a place for faith, meaning that it's not that I lack what I had and now it is gone, but rather I lack what I was able to give and now I don't have anything to give. Soon we will check that. Yet, were it filled, there would be no existence of a vessel, the existence of a place for faith. This means that if a person would not receive, let's say, those 5,000 pounds and wouldn't later lose it and feel that he's lacking it, then he would have no place for faith, meaning he would have no deficiency, no feeling of a deficiency, that there could be more, but it's missing. And now he needs to establish his relation to that feeling that he had, and now he doesn't have it. This article is not so simple. We will scrutinize it. We will read it a few times and check if we're able to understand.
Rewarded, I will hasten it. Rewarded, I will hasten it, meaning the path of Torah. Not rewarded, through suffering, an evolutionary path that will finally lead everything to utter perfection. The path of Torah means that an ordinary person is given virtues by which he can make for himself vessels that are ready for it. And the vessels are made through the expansion of the light and its departure. A vessel is specifically called the will to receive. This means that he lacks something, and there is no light without a kli. For the light must be caught in some vessel, so it will have a hold. But an ordinary person cannot have desires for sublime things, since it is impossible to have a need before there is fulfillment, as it is written, the expansion of the light, for example. For example, when a person has 1,000 pounds, he is rich and content. However, if he subsequently earns more, up to 5,000 pounds, and then loses it until he's left with 2,000, he is then deficient. Now he has vessels for 3,000 pounds, since he had already had it. Thus, he has actually been cancelled. And there is a path of Torah for this. When one is accustomed to the path of Torah, to regret the scantiness of attainment, and every time he has some illuminations and they are divided, they cause him to have more sorrow and more vessels. This is the meaning of every vessel needing light, that it is not filled, that its light is missing. Thus, every deficient place becomes a place of faith, or faith. Yet, were it filled, there would be no existence of a kli existence of a place for faith.
What he's asking?
We
are talking here about the formation of the deficiency in the desire. Just a desire that he wants, that potentially he's ready, that's nothing. But rather, it has to be something which is defined. What exactly do you want? So, what is happening here is that the person receives 5,000 pounds, let's say, and later on he loses out of this 3,000. So over these 3,000 pounds, he has a deficiency. This is how a deficiency is built. Not just the deficiency that comes from the Creator, but something which is well defined, that the person feels.
Да, да, дорогой Раф, а что такое вот в нашем случае хиссароном к ощущению света?
What does it mean to have a deficiency for the feeling of the light in our case?
We get from above all kinds of different states. These states build in us all kinds of feelings and deficiencies. By this, we begin to feel what does it mean to be close to bestowal, far away from bestowal, closer to connection, farther away from connection, all kinds of such discernments which are not with respect to this world, not measurements of this world, but rather measurements in spirituality. And this is how we begin to acquire vessels for spirituality. It's not yet vessels of faith, but nevertheless, in that we have a certain relation to distancing versus nearing. We begin to measure ourselves not according to how much do we receive and or how much we do not receive, or we become emptied because we don't have any measurement in that yet. But rather our measurement is in how much we nevertheless can yearn for connection between us, or we distance between us. And then in that we have some feeling, a certain discernment or not. All in all, this is where we are for now.
А вот эти 5000 лир, ну там 2000 лир в нашем случае, это ощущение объединения.
These 2000 pounds in our case is the feeling of connection, more or less.
Well, in the example, it's not how he explains it, but you can translate it in this way, that now we have connected and we evaluate our connection, let's say it's 5,000 pounds, and later on we feel ourselves that we have become separated, we're farther away in our feeling from each other, up to, let's say, only 2,000 pounds. So how much did we lose? From 5,000 to 2,000, but earlier we were only in 1,000 pounds, right? And so in between these three states, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, we can determine ourselves.
Since he had already had it, thus he actually been canceled. It's not clear what it means.
Let's read it again. I'm reading the article, Rewarded, I Will Hasten It. It is written, Rewarded, I Will Hasten It, meaning the path of Torah. Through the path of Torah, we reach the purpose of creation, the building, the construction of the vessel for the revelation of the Creator. Not rewarded, meaning it's not through the path of I Will Hasten It, not the path of Torah, than it is through suffering, which is an evolutionary path that finally will lead everything to utter perfection. So through the path of suffering, we also reach the purpose. Ultimately, everyone reaches it. The question is only through which path. and in which pace, through which states. The path of Torah means that an ordinary person is given virtues by which he can make for himself vessels that are ready for it. This means that the person himself actually prepares the vessels for his advancement towards the Creator. And the vessels are made through the expansion of the light and its departure. A vessel is a deficiency, a lack. So the expansion of the light in the desire and its departure from the desire build the desire such that it already wants the fulfillment. A vessel, a kli, is a will to receive. This means that he lacks something. He feels that he's lacking something, and there is no light without a kli. For the according to his deficiency, he can then say, I want this, I'm yearning for this. And when he will receive it, he will feel that this is what he wanted. For the light must be captured in some kli so that it will have a hold, so that there will be a connection between the light and the vessel, so that he received exactly what he wanted. But an ordinary person cannot have deficiencies for sublime things, for spirituality, since it is impossible to have a deficiency before there is fulfillment. And he has never yet felt spiritual fulfillment, so how will he yearn for it? So, for example, when a person has £1,000, he is rich, he has, and he is content. But now he has £1,000 and he can do something with it. However, if he subsequently earns more, let's say up to £5,000, and then loses, until he is left with 2,000, he is then deficient, meaning that he had 5,000, now only he has only 2,000. So here a vessel is made, which he didn't have before. A lack for £3,000. Because he had it already. It follows that it had been cancelled, meaning that he had a vessel, had the fulfillment of 5,000, he was left with a fulfillment of 2,000, so now he has a deficiency for £3,000. But at first he had only 1,000, but that doesn't matter. And he had 2,000 later, so we always measure according to what he had before. And there is a path of Torah for this. When one is accustomed to the path of Torah, to regret the scantiness of attainment, how come I don't have it? How come I don't attain it? How come I don't understand? How come I don't feel? And every time he has some illuminations, and they are divided. This is happens within us, it changes all the time, then they cause him to have more sorrow and more vessels. Bit by bit, this is how we build the vessels, even though we don't feel it, but it does occur inside of us, it cooks inside of us. This is the meaning of every vessel lacks the light, that it is not filled. And its light is missing. Thus, every deficient place becomes a place for faith. But now, when the light does not fill the vessel, then the light of faith can appear there. Meaning, I don't need to receive what I was lacking. I don't need the deficiency that was revealed in me to fill it in the direct manner. But rather, I want to fill this place with the light, with the desire to bestow, that I would like to bestow this to the Creator. This is the meaning of every vessel lacking light, that it is not filled, that its light is missing. Thus every deficient place becomes a place for faith. Yet, were it filled, there would be no existence of a vessel, existence of a place for faith. So, we would never reach feeling instead of, let's say, these 3,000 pounds, dollars, or whatever he had, whatever the currency was, pounds. So, you wouldn't be able to feel, instead of the 3,000 pounds, to feel the Creator, according to the equivalence of form. That if he would want to rise above the deficiency that he feels in order to receive, if he would rise above it, and by that he wants to resemble or connect to the source of the feeling, by this he would gain a connection with the Creator. We need to try to perform this, to carry it out, then you will different. We measure everything with respect to the Creator, how much we want to give that place that the Creator will fill. That I had, let's say, $3,000, and they're gone. So I want the Creator to fill that place, and not that that I will receive instead of it some other filling. In each and every place, I only want to fill it with the feeling of the Creator. And nothing besides that. To pray for that.
Так можно сказать, что я имел десятку какую-то
So can we say that in the 10
и потерял это соединение?
I had a feeling of a certain closeness to connection and I've lost it.
Кен, ודאי?
Yes, certainly.
Вот он здесь пишет, как будто бы человек сам может сформировать.
He writes here as if a person himself can create the deficiency by himself using the means called the virtue. What is a virtue?
Through the group. When we look at others, when we work together, we can use our common deficiencies. And therefore, a person who had no deficiency before, and he would come to us, let's say, and become incorporated in the group, and he has no problem, he doesn't want anything that is special, he just finds it interesting to be among us. However, when he is with us, bit by bit, he starts to discover that he wants, just like us, the same goals, the same things. That's it. And one has to know that nevertheless he would reach the goal. However, he has two paths. Either I will hasten it or in its time. That is all. Meaning either through the path of Torah, of the light, when he works correctly with his deficiency, or he doesn't work correctly with his deficiency, and then it's not through the virtues, the powers, but rather through negative sensations, but nevertheless he is drawn forward. Either he's pulled from before or he's pushed from behind. And we need to be sensitive to this. We need to increase our sensitivity each and every moment to how are we advancing? What now is advancing me from the state that I was in to the state that I need to be in a moment later? By what do I advance? Am I being drawn forward? Do I want to be pulled forward, or maybe I don't want anything? And then I become the animate or the vegetative, or maybe even still, and whatever happens, happens. So here we need as much as possible to assist the Creator to work on us. Don't even look at each other don't use the group, then we're by ourselves. But if we do try to use the group, then we're no longer animals. We become Adam, humans. Human Adam means that we bring ourselves to a group where we're all drawn to it together, when we all reach one form that is called Adam, similar to the Creator. And this is the essence of our work, meaning we reach a state, as you see, that there aren't so many means in the wisdom of Kabbalah by which to reach the goal. And eventually, either we dry out on the path and we leave and we don't want it and we don't care about anything, we despair, or we seriously reach connection because we are in the last generation, and only in that way we can truly reach success. So if we nevertheless continue, we hold by the teeth and we come closer to each other, because there is no choice. So we reach a state where in the connection between us, which we create forcefully, we connect forcefully above our laziness, above the natural rejection of our ego, we nevertheless connect between us. So specifically, we should respect the opportunities given by the evil inclination who is obstructing us from connecting. If we make an effort above it and we do connect, then in this effort, as much as we make it, even though I don't want it and I'm repelled by it and I'm tired of it and I'm truly disgusted by it, I can't do it. So through such efforts, there, forcefully, this is called by the force of faith above reason, we reach a state where there we do discover the Creator, who becomes revealed according to our efforts, and He brings us to such a success where we discover Him as the one who is saving us from the separation. And this is only if we don't let go, we don't leave, and when we surrender before these conditions, and we're nevertheless willing to do everything up to the very last moment.
Спасибо, учитель. Раф, вот открывается место веры. Получается, что отдача Творцу
становится... The place for faith is revealed. So it turns out that bestowed to the Creator becomes more important than my deficiency. But if we do not allow the deficiency to be filled again, let's say with 10,000 pounds, how can we grow in faith? How does the deficiency for faith grow?
I don't quite understand what you're saying. Wherever we are, we need to detect in it the tendency towards connection between us and the Creator. And as much as we're lacking it, missing it, we have to turn to the Creator and ask. And additionally, do it forcefully. We don't want to hear anything or get anything else, only the connection between us and with the Creator, and demand the Creator to maintain this connection and try to do it all the time.
So we have the deficiency for connection, for filling. So there is a deficiency. This creates a place, And above this place, we build it, what becomes the place of faith, the place of bestowal, meaning there's a deficiency for reception, for connection with the Creator, and there is bestowal. So how does the deficiency for a connection with the Creator grow if we don't fill it up, but rather yearn for bestowal?
It's a deficiency that we want the Creator to fill, that He will clothe in it, He will be in it. We wish to present this deficiency to Him.
How to use the deficiency correctly in order to expand the vessels from lesson to lesson, from meeting to meeting?
We first of all need to think about it from the evening before you go to the sleep, before the lesson. Whoever is in such a process, we need to think of the deficiency for the lesson in order to receive something from the lesson. Just like before a meal, when you know in advance that soon we'll have a special meal, we approach it, make an intention for it, and accordingly each one receives from it. Each one brings to this meal his own deficiency. That's how it needs to be. You receive the material for the lesson in advance, and you need to try and somehow go over it.
Besides the materials, we also feel a lot of pressures throughout the day to connect, how to do it so that, as you said, not to receive directly, but to use it correctly at the moment we are in this state.
Try, talk to one another about how much each one.
Nevertheless, Rav, what can we take from this article for work?
There are two paths, the path of suffering and the path of light, the path of Torah. And we need to merit to rise on the path of Torah, rewarded. I shall hasten it. How did they were they rewarded? By being pure, refined. How to be refined? By thinking as little as possible about myself and as much as possible about the others. By that, we pass all of our progress to the common vessels of the ten, and that's how we come closer to the Creator. If we would not connect between us, to take a single step forward towards the Creator, we will not advance. If a generation ago or a few generations ago, if we lived then, we would be very successful back then. But we are in the last generation, and here we have special conditions for connection on purpose. So we have no other choice, only the ten, and through it, forward. That's it. So try to feel how we are becoming closer to one another in the hearts, and help the friends who cannot do it. And it won't do any good to talk to them, but rather to speak, to pray for them, to pray for those people whose heart is still hard, and they're unable, and they constantly fall into thoughts about themselves. It's a problem. So if I see it, and I call a few people from the ten whose heart is softer and more advanced, and I speak to them, that we should think about these people who are not able to work with their hearts. And we pray for them. We pray that the Creator will soften their heart and we'll be able to connect more. And our success, our spiritual success, depends on that. All of us. This is the meaning of each shall help his friend. So, there is no other way. Let's try.
But
I got you, Moti. Let me say it again. The important thing is that we, those who are conscious, who yearn for connection between them and the Creator, they gather and they speak about how they can embrace and strengthen everyone and arrange the walls of the ship in order to advance towards the... So we have to understand that the Creator is sending those problems and He's burdening the hearts of those friends who cannot feel themselves in connection, and we have to pray for them that they... Meaning to, turn to the Creator. What does it mean to pray for them? To turn to the Creator so He would nevertheless soften their hearts and they will feel that they lack connection with the rest of the group. This process whereby they will come closer to the group from their state where they are unconscious about their lack of connection. This will help them tremendously, and all of us together. Only in this way can we advance. How can we take another step forward and another by revealing such disturbances where time and time again, each friend in his own style feels himself or doesn't feel himself, but we all feel it, or maybe not even feel it so much, but he's drifting apart from the group, and we're making all kinds of efforts to pull him back in, and we have to pray even when we don't feel someone is weaker. Nevertheless, we need to pray for that. We have nothing else for which to pray, only the connection between us. Don't let it go. Other than holding ourselves together, we have no other chance to advance towards spirituality, true spirituality that might be revealed now. It's not like the great Kabbalists of the past, but this is for all of humanity, the last generation. Does not belong to us. So our work is as much as we can imagine to ourselves that we are in one desire. In corporeality, it's not important to us, but in spirituality, when we are drawn to be in one desire, in which the Creator is revealed, to connect to our one single unified source. And that's what we're trying to do. All of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the entire process of creation, there's nothing more than that. You can study 1,000 books. You can be very wise. But all that we can do is to connect our desires. And we can't connect them because the desires are like kernels, like little like seeds, like little tiny balls that you cannot connect. But through the intentions between them, when they are willing to be connected above this hardness in them, the rejection in them. And in this new connection, the difference between the connection that existed in the Dhamma Rishon is that this hardness is revealed. No one wants to let the other enter into him. So we are working. Each and every one is working by expressing himself through reflected light, by wanting above his ego to bestow to others. So you have many, many of those balls. Each one reveals himself, his is resistance to let anyone enter into him, but we are doing a different kind of work. We're asking the upper force in which we all dwell to have the opportunity to bestow to the other above our desire, above our nature. Give us an opportunity to connect with the other. And this connection is not inside of us, rather it's in our intention, the intention between us. We do not change the act of creation. We just want each one of us to come out of his nature and to yearn to be connected with the other. In intention. And in truth, nobody enters the other's desire. We simply want... of expression yesterday.
It's a very beautiful picture, but I'd like to understand it all the way. We're two hard balls. We don't want... each one doesn't want to enter into the other. What now? What happened in the end?
On the outside we can unite, not from within.
If what, one new complete ball, or what?
No, it will never be this way. We want reflected light from each one of us. We want to connect our intentions, where each one wants to bestow as much as they can, bestow good to the other. And then, specifically using the ego that exists in each and every one, we turn the ego, we aim it to be for the benefit of the other. So we connect not inside of us, and not to such an extent that we go back to being one ball. No, it will not be this way. Rather, we connect outside of us. In reflected light, in bestowal, in giving, and we remain the way we are.
So what is this common space?
All the intentions, all of our tendencies, all of our desires, all of our yearnings, everything we have, I want to give it to others. And then all of us are like that. So it turns out that we build above us, above our ego, this state where we all connect in our intentions, in our tendencies, our yearnings.
And each one remains in his ball.
The ego remains. It does not disappear. I've created evil inclination. That stays. And we build this form of bestowal, of unity, of love, adhesion above our ego.
And we come back to being one ball in the end?
Not physically.
In the end, what happens? Not physically, but spiritually.
We exist in our desire, in our tendency. We exist above us, in the connection between us. Where a man's thoughts are, that's where he is.
And what exactly is reflected light?
This is it, that I want from within my ego. I want to bring my desire, bring it back again above my ego to connect with everyone.
And where is the Creator here?
Well, if the Creator will not help me, can I do anything? The Creator awakens this desire in me to disconnect from myself and to rise above my ego and to aspire towards connection with everyone. These are all the Creator's forces. He awakens them in me, and I yearn to work. It's as if he's, you know, he's doing it in me, and then I come to a state where by myself and with others, we build this force of the for the revelation of connection.
So what does it obligate us in now that the previous Kabbalists were not obligated in?
We can ask the Creator to connect us. We can ask Him to build the form of the end of correction. Look at our group. Thousands of people all over the different continents who wish to come to know this last form of the corrected humanity.
This new form that we're building, how is it related to the first form, the initial form where we were connected in one desire?
Before the shattering?
Yes.
Nothing. We have to reach that form, but in the awakening of our own desire. Just imagine that in that first desire, we existed back then as well. All the desires, there's nothing new in creation. But all these desires were as one single desire. This single desire exploded and created many tiny desires who started to grow by perceiving each other as foreign to one another, and by feeling each other as foreign, they move apart, not physically, but in the feeling, move apart from one another. They started to divide into still, vegetative, and animate, and that's how they existed, until they came to a state where against the forces of separation, they started to reveal a small tendency towards connection. That was the beginning of the era of the Kabbalists. Until today, as Baal Sulam writes, we are in the last generation.
And we come back to the first form that we were in before the shattering?
No, we cannot connect into one desire. We'll be like one desire, as one desire. We want to connect. We only want to connect to one desire, which is to relate itself to the Creator entirely, and for the Creator to fill us. So by seemingly connecting to that one desire, the Creator can be revealed in us 620 times more, pitach, because we remain with the force of separation inside of us, and we overcome it. And then the intensity, the level of our reception, our capacity grows 620 times more.
So the addition, the new thing is 600 times more?
It's non high. Instead of nefesh, the Creator will be revealed with all of His powers, without any limitation.
Zil?
That's it. Instead of nefesh of nefesh, we're going to have yechida of yechida. We attain Him completely, in its entirety, and He fills us completely, and we are in the final adhesion in Him. This is the process.
And then all of the little individual balls become cancelled.
After this happens, don't ask me. I don't know. Even if I can imagine something, it's not as wise as the experience. I'm not in it. I don't understand what's happening there. Also, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, those Kabbalists who write about it a little bit, they wrote about it a tiny bit. They wrote in such a way that you cannot understand it. Because all the forces of separation begin to reveal themselves in their true form, the true klipot, true shells, and they undergo correction and they participate in the connection between all the individual souls, and they speak about it in such a way that you cannot understand. I can show you where it's mentioned here and there. Ari writes about it, about the worlds of the klipot, of the shells. But this, we don't study that, because you cannot study things that are not revealed in us at all. But these things will be revealed after we correct our vessels of reception in order to bestow. All these things eventually are revealed.
Thanks.
That's not a problem. The important thing is to get through our stage and enter practical work. Intention.
Sorry, one more question. The ten and the Shechina, what's the difference?
The ten is what we connect between us, our desires, our longing to connect between us, and in that connection, we direct it towards the Creator. That's our desires, the ten. And the divinity, Shechina, is when we already, from within that ten, that desire connecting together, we ask of the Creator to help us connect in mutual bestowal between us to Him. And then the ten becomes divinity. That's a good question. Very good question.
As we have clarified above, there are two ways for providence to make certain that man achieves the good final goal, the path of suffering and the path of Torah. All the clarity in the path of Torah stems from this, for these clear conceptions that we were revealed and recognized after a long chain of events in the lives of the prophets and the men of God, there comes a man who fully utilizes them and benefits from them, as though these concepts were events of his own life. Thus you see that one is exempted from all the ordeals one must experience before he can develop that clear mind by himself. Thus one saves both time and pain. It can be compared to a sick man who does not wish to obey to the doctor's orders before he understands by himself how that advice will cure him, and therefore begins to study medicine himself. He could die of his illness before he learns medicine. So is the path of suffering compared to the path of the Torah. One who does not believe the concepts that the Torah and the prophecy advise him to accept, without self-understanding, must come to these concepts by himself, by following the chain of cause and effect from life's events. These are experiences that greatly rush and can develop the sense of recognition of evil in them, as we have seen, without one's choice, but because of one's efforts to acquire a good environment, which leads to these thoughts and actions.
It's an imaginary world. But from studying and wanting to come closer to it, we thus bring the light that reforms, and it works on us and influences us. However, if we make actions of connection in the group and make efforts to achieve these actions of connection, that's the most effective thing, most useful. But we also need to engage in both this and that. Bulgaria.
It's interesting, because Baal HaSulam, he didn't have articles about the whole method.
Of course, he didn't have these articles. He didn't need them. He attained them from his engagement in the wisdom of Kabbalah. That already depends on the soul. It depends on the light from above that shines on the person. Meaning, without first studying and even engaging in the ten and so forth, he even through his own forces, he came to attainment. How did Ari do it? The Ari was a merchant. He would travel from Damascus to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Cairo, and then back, and he would sell and trade all kinds of merchandise. And he was young. In the age of 37-38, he already passed away. And therefore, that's it. But it was such a special soul that was always thinking and studying with whatever he could, and mostly what he discovered was from within his unique kind of soul. Same with Baal HaSulam. He didn't have a teacher. But it's because it's a special kind of soul. And here, we don't even see, in the great Kabbalists, we see that they emerged without having some unique teacher or academy where they studied or something. No. It's just specific, pure souls that the Creator as if brings down to our world and corrects them and fulfills them while they're being here in our world, and that's why they can tell us and leave us with some writings by which we already need to start rising up our path of ordinary human beings, and we don't have choice but to. All right, so we'll continue with the freedom of the individual.
Title, The Freedom of the Individual. Now we come to a thorough and accurate understanding of the freedom of the individual. However, this relates only to the first factor, the source, which is the first substance in every person, meaning all the characteristics we inherit from our fathers and our forefathers, and by which we differ from each other. This is because even when thousands of people share the same environment in such a way that the other three factors affect all of them equally, you will still not find two people who share even one attribute. This is because each of them has his or her own unique source. This is like the source of the wheat, although it changes a great deal by the three latter factors, it still retains the preliminary shape of the wheat and will never take the form of another species.
So even if we, let's say, are in a single society, study in the same school, get the same education, everything's the same, because in our foundation, in each and every one, there are still different data, then each of us will grow in a different, unique way. And that's why there's a basis for the freedom of the individual here, because you can't, if you inflate, let's say, those who come to the school, you inflate them or fill them up with the same knowledge and so forth, it doesn't mean that they'll necessarily become the same person, completely identical. And then you could just put them wherever you need, and they would all behave in the same kind of manner that you think they'll be as one. They won't be as one. And we can see that. Why? Because in each and every one to begin with, there's a unique root that does not resemble another. As it is said, two hairs do not grow. Clear, Dudi? What?
What's that first substance that will never change? My uniqueness. What is that?
That's the Rishimo.
Can I know what my root is? Should I know?
You will get to know it later. Not by getting to know it directly, but rather all of its responses. And from the responses, you'll recognize it.
What will I know? My spiritual identity?
Yes. Why you specifically, where you specifically grow from, and more accurately even, what place within the upper force you are tied to.
What do I do with that knowledge?
You don't need to do anything then. You first realized yourself, and from that you know it. Yes, of course, we come from the end to the beginning. That's called the recognition of the Creator. From your actions, we know you.
Why isn't my role revealed to me now, the unique thing about me?
You have to discover it. How can you discover it if you have no vessels? All that you do is build vessels, and according to these vessels, you discover yourself and your biography and so forth.
Okay, יש פה, קיבלתי שאלה מצביקה שהוא לא יכול לשאול.
Question from Tzvika, who can't ask.
Oh, he's probably exploding, poor guy.
So he says that he talked about the mind, about a sulam. What's the purpose of a corporeal mind, and should we attain a spiritual one?
The corporeal mind leads us towards the spiritual mind, and we nevertheless need to use the corporeal mind because it provides us with entrance towards the spiritual discernments, where the corporeal mind is where we base ourselves, and then we accept everything above the corporeal mind in spiritual discernments. That's what we call faith above reason. The reason is the corporeal mind, the faith above reason is the spiritual mind. All right? The exercises, all the exercises for that are only through the group. The more you enter the group and want to connect with the friends, the more you want to relate yourselves to the friends. By that, you begin to sense what it means to go above my mind, in faith above reason.
Keep going.
We are in item 3, inner light, clarifies the striking of the upper light. It means that there is a law in the upper worlds that each lower degree causes additions of light to a higher degree. That entire measure of additional light is imparted back to the lower one that caused it. It is the same with our matter. The screen on Malchut of Atzilut caused that reflected light to rise and clothe all 9 Sfirot of Atzilut and become vessels for them. Without it, the light of Ein Sof would not be grasped and clothed in Atzilut. For a light cannot be attained without a vessel. But since the screen caused all that additions, meaning the above-mentioned reflected light and ten sfirot, the screen and vessel in Malchut expanded because of the descending reflected light that came back to it from the screen downward. And it drew to itself all those ten sfirot of Atzilut above in their exact likeness. Thus, Malchut of Atzilut alone descends and expands into ten sefirot from her and within her, like the ten sefirot of Atzilut, meaning from Keter to Malchut. They are called the ten sefirot of the world of Bria. This is the meaning of the words of the Ari, that because of that striking of the upper light that reaches there, it struck that curtain, and by the power of the ten sefirot of Atzilut that reached there, it struck their light there, and lights sparkled, and went through that screen and became the ten sefirot of Bria. There are two things we should understand here. The first, discernment, caused the reflected light that rises by the striking of the upper light in the screen. That reflected light descends back to the degree that caused its appearance. The second discernment caused the clothing of the light of Ein Sof in the ten vessels of the reflected light that rose and became the ten sefirot of Atzilut. They too descended back to the degree that caused their appearance. The Ari states about the first discernment, because of the striking of the upper light in the curtain. It means that this reflected light returns and descends from above downward to the world of Bria. The Ari states about the second discernment, by the power of the ten sefirot of Atzilut, etc. From these two forces, the ten sefirot of the world of Bria were formed.
Meaning the light from the screen ascends, supposedly prints all those sefirot that are above him, and does the same thing with all those sefirot below it, in like lower matter. But in that way it happens, it's like from above downward he, from below upward he sees the upper sefirot and then makes a copy of them below, like a print, supposedly. It'll be clarified in a bit. Kiev.
What does it mean that the lower degree causes addition of light in the upper degrees?
Because it participates by receiving from the upper one and adds its own coarseness with the reflected light. That's why there is more light on the higher degree.
I don't understand the mechanics.
You have children?
Yes.
You have to work much more because they exist? It's clear to you?
Okay, that's clear.
So the lower degree awakens the light from the higher degree because it adds a deficiency to the higher degree.
Но тут получается из его объяснения, что отраженный свет от Целута рождает Брия. Или неправильно я понял?
But here from the explanation it stems that it turns that from the Целут it comes to Брия.
And afterwards it prints it from below. The light descends to some kind of degree. It performs reflected light, awakens the sefirot above it in reflected light as much as it can, and Abel receives them and passes it below. We'll see it in a bit. That's how they descend, like a zigzag kind of.
Od Gimel, lo shomim Rav.
Can.
Item 3, Rav, we don't hear you? Okay, the words of the Ari, item 3. Headline, the difference between Atzilut and Bria is that in Atzilut there is no screen at all. In Bria, the light is diminished by a single screen. In Yetzirah, by two screens.
Two screens.
And in Asiya, by three screens. Still, in the four phases of the coarseness of the upper light, there is no difference between the worlds.
Ari, item three.
The difference between Atzilut and the three worlds is that in Atzilut, the light of Ein Sof punctures it and passes it to the end of Atzilut without any screen. However, from there downward, there is a screen. The difference between Bria and Yetzira is that Bria has one separating screen, Yetzira has two screens, and Asiya, three screens. However, within each world, just as there are four phases in Atzilut, so there are four phases in Bria itself and in Yetzira itself.
Meaning the whole structure remains the same way from the four phases of direct light, still from the world of Ein Sof. But by passing the lights from below, from above downward, so there are differences between the worlds and the screens and the, how should I say it, in the order they pass them onward.
Inner light item 8 clarifies, as there are four phases in Bria itself. It refers to the four phases of coarseness, namely Chubtum, previously referred to as the expansion of the light of Ein Sof to make vessels. They are also called the ten sfirot of direct light, because Tiferet contains six sfirot, Chagat Nehi. Through the coupling by striking in the screen in the sfira of Malchut of direct light, the light rises once more as reflected light, clothes all ten inner sfirot of direct light, and turns them into one general degree according to the level of the reflected light.
Mm-hmm.
Item 9, inner light, clarifies there are four phases in the Bria itself. He thus tells us that these four phases of direct light exist in every world and in every partsuf. There's no difference between a high degree and a low degree. All the differences in the partsufim and in the worlds are because of the screens and the reflected light in them. In that, the screen in one is not like the screen in another.
Meaning there is no difference in the structure between the four phases, root 1, 2, 3, 4, that we had in the world of Ein Sof, but only because of the coarseness and the screen upon it, we have so many cells. And from that, all of the reality is built.
That's what I'm asking. What's the goal?
The goal is that during the reading of the text, we're trying to connect between us and to invite the light that reforms, that will bestow upon us, on our efforts to connect. That first we were doing it on the Rabash article, or Bala Sulam from Shamati, and then on the Freedom article. And now we're doing it over tests. We are studying the main parts of all the wisdom of Kabbalah, that the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is destined for us to invite the light that reforms to take care of us and develop us quicker than everybody else, because the others are not drawing the light that reforms upon them, and we are. So the more now that you have a deficiency to know what you're studying about, then the more light that reforms you draw upon you, and the more you understand what you're studying, so you'll invite the light less. That's why it's not the wise who studies, but studies the one who is sorry that he's not advancing in bestowal, in connection. And that is very difficult for us to understand and be drawn to. That is the problem, that we are all drawn with our brains to fill our brains, even though we won't ever be able to understand this before we attain it. And to always yearn for attainment, and attainment means attaining our connection and bestowing to the Creator. It's all only attained in that.
So, later, trying to read it on our own will not give anything.
It will give something, but still, the main part is what do you want during the studies, during the reading. That's the main part.
Thank you.
And it's very difficult for our generation, especially, that is entirely, we all studied a lot. Also, now we're studying and we're working in all kinds of businesses that belong to wisdom. And the problem is that it's not the wise who studies, but all of our vessels that we need to prepare for revealing the Creator is a vessel of bestowal. It's completely not a vessel of the intellect. It's the feeling that our feeling will yearn to feel the others. You understand how opposite this is than what we are? How opposite. That's why how difficult it is to speak to humanity. Who wants this? Who needs this? Who feels a deficiency in this? Only great suffering, like Bala Sulam writes, that God forbid, can come to humanity. Only such great suffering can turn us around to connect. To connect between us. In order to run from the suffering.